The best travel writing inspires and informs. I love the joy of discovery. When Tony and Maureen Wheeler set out from England to drive to Afghanistan in 1972 and then journey onward to Australia, they didn't realize that at the end of their trip, their experiences and insights would be the basis for Lonely Planet's first guidebooks. Recently, flipping through a mid-1990s Lonely Planet guide to New Zealand, I was delighted to read an extensive digression on flora and fauna, well annotated with images and endless tips. I flipped back and wondered who wrote this version. Ha! Tony Wheeler's name is listed as one of the three authors. Is he still alive? A few searches later, and yes, it turns out he is. I sent off an email, and after a bit, we scheduled the chat, which follows in a few moments. Travel guides have long been part of my small bookshelf, from the Let's Go series to Moon, Rough Guide, Lonely Planet, interesting independent authors, and of course, the cheeky Lux guides, with their fun digressions into topics such as advanced shopping, esoteric local trivia, and essential emergency services.
What you were saying at the start about just sort of going and doing things.
Yes.
And, you know, I can talk about this a fair amount. Some of the best trips that we've done have been very much, you know, just get out and see what happens each day.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's anything very out there or adventurous or exciting sort of thing. Maureen and I often talk about, we did a trip once where we had a wedding to go to in Spain. Maureen's niece was, who was Irish, was marrying someone who was Spanish, and we went to the wedding and it was terrific. And then we had 3 weeks to return the rental car back to Nice in France. Great.
Yes.
And, you know, we just drifted along.
Right. Here.
And it was all just, you know, it was a perfect trip. And we often pointed that as far as being anywhere sort of out there adventurous, come on, the south of France is about as gentle as you can get. You know,
right.
It's, you know, every meal's going to be good and every, you know, it's just not a problem at all. On the other hand, you know, in the last couple of years, I've done quite a bit of travel in Africa, and last year I was in South Sudan for a couple of weeks. And if you want someone that's out there, that's definitely out there. But on the other hand, this was not a sort of drift along trip. It was very much organized, and you know, so there's entirely different perspectives here. We're just jumping from place to place, but it's very safe and ordinary. Or we're going somewhere that isn't safe and ordinary, but it's very organized. So I don't know, you know, it's how it works. And then what you were saying about, you know, brands and the Michelin and that, all that sort of thing. I've just, in the last few weeks, I've been in Bali in Indonesia, again, a very, you know, safe, secure, organized, easy place. But We went there because a Singapore publisher, Eric Wee, who runs Periplus, a Singapore-based publisher, and he also runs Tuttle. I've got a Tuttle catalog here. It's a Japanese-American English language publisher. It's been around forever. And Eric Wee acquired it and keeps it going. But he'd got a bunch of travel writers and travel publishers together to talk about 50 years of covering Indonesia. And it was really interesting, some sessions. Bill Dalton, who invented Moon Publications.
Oh, sure.
Eco, California. And Bill's classic book was Indonesia Handbook. So Bill was talking about how he created that back in the day, as it were. A German publisher, Hans Hofer, who invented Insight Guides, you know, and his first book was A Guide to Bali. So again, you know, it was a very interesting few days. I'm not sure quite where I'm going on this one, but yeah.
You know, it's just interesting to me how that has evolved. You know, today and still Wednesday, Airbnb announced another layer of services, right? You know, where you have chefs and, you know, just these things you can do, the experiences, you know, in their app. And my sense, you know, having been blessed to travel quite a bit, is that we've seen during the arc of your work and career, we've seen a greater homogenization across the globe. You know, Grand Hyatt in Tokyo, or you know, whatever, Park Hyatt, you know, just the sort of that layer, you know, of travel, right? You know, that if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can find it across the globe. But if you're looking for the, you know, 10-room pension in the Dolomites, or something small in the Japanese Alps, I mean, you have to look a bit. And by the way, the services today, you know, Google Maps and Apple Maps, they definitely have a hierarchy of display and revelation, let's say, based on, I assume, deals with Booking.com and other places to show you things, you know, and you really sometimes have to look. And know you have to look to find things. And this is what's interesting to me today, where, you know, in your era, there was a certain amount of trust in the restaurants, the locations, the walks, you know, the whole thing, that in fact they were there and they were, you know, worth doing. But in this digital world of, you know, people having different interests all around, so I can sort of see why some people would just gravitate toward a known brand. We have a friend who took a Costco, and that would be the Carrefour. I don't know if you know Costco in the States; they're a big warehouse. But they, you know, they do travel packages to Florence. You
Do
know,
they?
he did that. Yeah, they did that. It's fascinating to me. Yeah.
I don't know. It's I'm looking at, you know, what I'm doing this year, and I've got some things that are just going to be sort of turning up and see what happens, and I've got some that I increasingly at my old age, I'm happy to have my hand held sometimes, and
Totally. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? It
Totally.
all
Well, yeah. How did, you know, your, let's say, traditional background before Lonely Planet, how well did that prepare you for making it
well,
real?
I often think someone should write that there should be a book written about first trips and young people traveling, and I've got a lot of time for that, and I wish there was almost more of it. There was a very entertaining. Well, I was in the UK last year for. I'm in the UK every year for a spell. I'm leaving in 10 days, less than 10 days' time. And there was a thing, a woman who was a sort of a talking head. She was well known in British television and so on. And her 16-year-old son and his friend went off and took a Eurail pass and traveled around Europe for a month and, you know, and stayed in youth hostels. And it was all perfect. They had a wonderful time. And she got castigated for this. A lot of people say, you can't let a 16-year-old go off and, you know, why not? I don't know. And I just think that, you know, these days, so many young kids, they can't go anywhere that their parents are tracking them. You know, their phone lets their parents know where they are every minute. It's kind of a horror story.
But you know, you started out kind of in business, in very traditional work, you know, and so did that do you well when you had to face the realities of, you know, putting together a product, distributing
Well, it
it,
was,
marketing it, branding, and all that? Or was it just the
yeah,
fact it was the right time, right place, and
it
you rode
was,
the
and
wave?
I mean, we talked about this in Bali the other week with Bill Dalton, you know, and his first Moon Publications book, very similar story. And you know, when your businesses, you know, they when you start them, they're always hand to mouth, and things can go wrong with any moment. And you know, we always had this feeling that if this doesn't work out, we can go back to real life. You know, there's a the 9 to 5 job is waiting. Didn't happen, but Who knows?
And what do you use now for your planning, or do you? What's your menu?
You know, I've still very often carry the Lonely Planet guide, and you know, my inclination would be to, if I've got one on the shelf, to pull it off, or even to go and buy one. But I know if I buy one, I'm going to be disappointed. It's not going to do what I say that, you know. But one of the 2 years ago, I was driving across America. When I say across America, a British journalist friend of mine, we met in Milwaukee, picked up the rental car in Milwaukee. We drove up to Green Bay. I knew who the Green Bay Packers were. He didn't. So we went up there to see that. And then we went to Duluth, where Bob Dylan was born. We went to Hibbing, where he grew up.
Yes.
We went up to Winnipeg, where my friends had to fly back to London. And then I drove down to Fargo in North Dakota.
Oh, yes.
And actually, we used the new edition at that point of the Lonely Planet USA guide. Is it on the shelf behind me here? Quite possibly. It worked perfectly. You know, it's every place we stayed, we found in that book, and no complaints at all. So, you know, the guidebooks can still work. So, yeah, you know, I'd still pull a Lonely Planet guide off the shelf, but equally, I'll just Google things. And, you know, I've got various, you know, if I'm going to fly somewhere, my first stop is it Travel Scanner? It's the website that, you know, gives you whatever the cheap flights are. If I can't get a free one with my frequent flyer points with one of the airlines, it does happen quite often. And, you know, I've got lots of websites I use. I mean, one of the ones I use is the Michelin tablet hotels. Yeah, they're expensive hotels, but they're often really interesting. Yeah, and that'll be, if I can afford it, a first stop. I'll see what they're recommending in whatever city I'm going to. And assorted other ways. I'm going to, with a friend, I'm going to spend just a few days on, we're going to be in Athens for various reasons.
Oh, fun.
And then we're meeting up, and we're going out to the island Hydra.
Where, oh, of course. Yeah. It's lovely.
Cohen's, you know.
Yeah.
Cohen's background. And actually, I've never been there, and I've always wanted to. And I read a rave review about it in the paper, British paper, a few days ago. So Hydra is on my list. And you go on the ferry, you book a hotel.
Yes, it's actually in our app. We were there a couple of years ago, and
were you? Was it as good as they promised?
Yes,
good.
And I would encourage you to take one of the, you know, you can ride sort of a group boat to one of the beaches down the island, but I'd encourage you to take one of the boat taxis, the water taxis, because you talk to those guys, and they're fun, and yeah. And then, you know, if you go up the mountain, the views are quite nice. But yeah, Hydra it's sublime, definitely.
Yeah, and there's no cars. Well, that's a good thing.
Right. It's that's wonderful. You know, back to the brands and all. One of the things I've noticed in the arc of years of travel is the decline in hotel or lodging experience. And as I said, I think it's the homogenization. Now, granted, there still are some where they provide a terrific breakfast, or, you know, just the little extras, or they know what you want in the morning. But generally, it seems, you know, it's a bed, and hopefully it's reasonably clean. And, you know, and again, when I was a student traveling, you know, my expectations were nothing. But maybe now I'm older and I have more. So, you know, you mentioned the Michelin guide. Is there a base that you will not tolerate below? You will not go below that base.
Well, you know, I've often said I've had all the bed bugs I ever need in this life.
Right.
Take me a step up from that. Mm-hmm. No, you know, hotels, they're interesting things. You know, you have, and I have quite often really good hotel experiences. You know, I stay in places that I really like, and who knows? There'll be some more of that this year, I'm sure. Some good ones and some bad ones. You know, I'm just trying to think. Maureen and I did a trip in England about 2 years ago, where it was just bad place after bad place. It was
right.
they were all very disappointing, and the only one that was in this whole little week long string of hotels that was any good was one that was a sort of, you know, name brand, dull, boring, but it worked. And the British are still good at bad hotels. That's what I understand, which is not encouraging, is it?
Well, if you're back around Cambridge, at least there's a place with three. It's an old farm, and this fine woman has renovated the thing. It's Cambridge Country Cottages, and I would recommend that. And then the other one there is Fen Meadows. It's some yurts, and again, it's quite nice. It's quite beautiful. It's depending on the time of year, you know, the showers outside, you know. So I mean, but you know, it was fun. And good discovery.
I'm thinking about it, but we stayed last year in a couple of places in England with some friends, and they organized it, which were really nice. So the British, they may have some bad places, but they aren't all that way. And I've stayed in lots of really nice places in Britain. I should take this all back.
Right. Well, so do you use the you know, the Airbnb, VRBO? Do you use those sorts of services? You know,
I don't use Airbnb that much. Where am I going shortly? It's Airbnb. No, I'm not a great Airbnb enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why.
There are some places I found it's delightful. When the last few days in Auckland, we stayed in a nice, beautiful view Airbnb there, and that was, you know, great walking area, and there really weren't any inns or B&Bs or anything around there, so that was a great option for us anyway. But
look, it's up and down. We're only there to sleep in the end anyway, aren't we?
Right, exactly right. So what would a 2025 Tony Wheeler tell Tony Wheeler in 1980?
Oh, just you know, I say this all the time, just go. You know, you go, and the experiences roll out before you. And I'm thinking about the that trip from Milwaukee to Fargo.
Right. You know,
one of the places we stayed at was Eau Claire. This is Wisconsin. That's not far from.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a sort of a college town, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things I just read about. It said it's suddenly become this new place to go, and you know, it's had comparisons to like a smaller version of Portland, Oregon, or Austin, Texas, and we were just driving along the road, and we were thinking, where are we going to stay tonight? Mm-hmm. And this popped up, and before we knew it, we were there, and it was great. It was really nice. We were only there for, you know, we arrived in the late afternoon, and we left early the next morning, but mm-hmm. it was a really nice little town, and we were pleasantly surprised. And the place we stayed at was very good. The place we ate at was very good. The bar we had a beer at was very good. It was all a hit, one thing after the other. Who knows?
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because Eau Claire is the home of a musician, Justin Vernon. He has a band called Bon Iver and some other ones. And maybe 10 years ago, he started summer music festivals in Eau Claire that were, quite successful. And he has a hotel and restaurant there. And he lives mostly in Southern California, I think. But, you know, these things have helped really create new opportunities, let's say, along with some other things there, some tech businesses. But yes, I'm very happy you explore the Midwest a bit. What do you think, how do you, so other than telling me about this trip, you know, Milwaukee to Green Bay to Eau Claire to Duluth to Hibbing to Fargo and Winnipeg. And how do you share these things? Do you just send a text message or WhatsApp? Or how do you tell people these days? What's your method?
Blog, which, sometimes I don't know if anybody looks at it at all. If I was trying to, I'm not an influencer. I'm not someone with a million followers, and I'm sort of surprised occasionally when people do say, "Oh, I read what you said about something." And the amusing one at the moment is I put up a blog a few weeks ago about not going back to places, because there's a lot of discussion at the moment about not going to the USA, and and it's partly people are actually scared of going there because, am I going to get pulled aside and my visa is going to be, eradicated?
The problem, Yeah.
Donald has scared a lot of people away. So there's that element. And there's also an element, and the Canadians are doing this in particular, saying, we're going to punish the US by not going there. So, there's been lots of stuff about how visitor numbers have declined seriously. Mm. It's really interesting. Mm. And I put up something about that. I said, where am I not going to? And maybe I'm not going to the USA for a spell. And I'm doing a talk in London in 10 days' time with a newspaper who's going to be doing a panel thing about the not going story. Oh. The U.S. and other places as well. There's other places people feel they should not go to. Kind of interesting story. There was a British journalist, same one I went to Milwaukee with, actually, who just sent me an email in the last week. He said, should I feel guilty if I go to Belarus? And I said, yeah, you definitely should. And I've been to Belarus, and it was a glad I did go. That fascinating place. One thing is, Minsk is where who shot Kennedy?
Oh, right. Oswald, yeah.
Oswald, yeah. I mean, he was, the Russians sent him to Minsk when, Belarus was part of Russia. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you go to Minsk, you can walk by the apartment where he lived for a year or so before he went to Dallas and pulled the gun out and shot JFK. What a story. But the thing that interests me about Belarus is about 3 years ago, Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, a Ryanair flight from Athens to Vilnius, Lithuania, was flying over.
Yes, I remember this. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And they forced it to land. Mm-hmm. They announced that there was a bomb threat.
Right.
The thing was, and the reason they forced it to land was there was a blogger on board who Lukashenko didn't like.
Right, right.
Well, this is appalling. You cannot force international flights down and, and then pull someone off the plane. And I had this little correspondence with Simon about it. And I said, look, Belarus is a bad guys. And the thing that intrigued me was I then looked up on one of the websites I often turn to, Flight Radar 24.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And if you look at that website, it shows you where planes fly.
Right.
And if you look, the Ryanair flight that that he was pulled off from Athens to Lithuania, that these days that flight heads north and then jigs around Belarus.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to make a major diversion, but it very deliberately avoids Belarus.
Airspace,
Yeah. I mean, a lot of airlines are doing that with Russia at the moment. The Chinese don't, of course.
Right, right.
Save money. It's a weird story.
Well, I think in some ways we take this mostly freedom of movement for granted. Because it wasn't always that way. And I remember flying out of Hong Kong to the mainland some years ago. And I had the, a newspaper or two. I can't remember, and I also had my iPad. And And they, of course, said you have to turn in your newspapers before we land. And, you know, it's.
In China.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a
That would be
Dragonair flight. And, you know,
fun.
and I think about those things. Yeah, we
Well,
largely have freedom of movement, but it doesn't mean that that will always be the case. Yes.
no. Well, I can remember many years ago when you if you flew from Bangkok to Hong Kong, you couldn't fly over Vietnam.
Oh, yes,
You
right.
know, until so in the 80s, you know, after the Vietnam War had ended and before Vietnam came back on the tourist radar, you know, flights used to jig around Vietnam. It
Right,
was a
right.
major diversion. And what you're saying about, I hadn't been to China for a few years, but I always used a VPN there to download The Economist. You know, I read
Right.
The Economist every week, but The Economist, it's banned in China.
Yes.
So is
Exactly.
Wikipedia.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, in some ways, maybe we're in the golden age, or maybe the last 50 years was the golden age of
Yeah.
exploring.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Yep. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time and chatting and sharing it with the audience a bit, Tony. And
Yeah, I'm always happy to talk. So, yeah,
yes.
I'm just making notes on this. I'm at some point I'm going to do another book about various travel tales. Now, one of the things I'm thinking about is flights jigging around.
Well, you know,
Just next.
6 or 7 years ago, we flew from Santiago to Toronto, and yeah, same. I'm always curious about the routes, and yeah, we flew around Colombia, even though that would have been the most direct
Yeah.
route.
But you know, I mean that's intriguing as well because I've been to Colombia a few times. You know, it's an interesting country. And if you could fly there from the US, you fly straight over Cuba. You know,
Yes.
Cuba's a long, narrow country. So if you know, and yet, you know, the US, for all their dislike of Cuba, they're quite happy to fly over it.
So where do we go from here? Is discovery limited to algorithmic wizardry censored by guardrails? I hope not. With Amuse, we amplify and share interesting experiences and places around the globe, the old-fashioned way from one human to another, seasoned by student history projects. Most importantly, you can simply tap to quickly find what's interesting nearby. Explore, enjoy.